Welcome, everybody, and a good morning and a happy Easter, if we're allowed to say that. Today, riding shotgun with me is going to be Pat Kelly. So if you've got any mechanical questions, you're certainly invited to bring them to the show. We're going to have a couple things going on. We're going to hear from Ron Alexander with Shelby Mechanical at 10:30. At 11:05, we're going to hear from Gary from Diamond Coat Building Products regarding a special broadcast coming up next week. But other than that, the phone lines are going to be open for you at 888-654-4897. Patrick, thanks for being here, buddy.
Thanks for asking me, Chuck.
I'm glad you're here. God bless you.
I am as well. Thank you.
I wish we had about 6 hours to broadcast today because we usually get a lot of phone calls. You get a lot of phone calls. I get to listen. Yeah. Hey, I got to ask you. Do you have well water where you are?
I do.
Do you have any treatment for that
at all?
Just a
salt.
Really?
Yeah.
You just got a little bit of iron and that's
it?
Yeah. It's funny. I know you're looking great. I told you that this morning. I know you maintain your health. People don't think about what water does to boost their metabolism and get the body going in the morning. I'm a big believer you put something in your body early and kind of light the furnace, if you will. I don't know if you think that way or not. And our joints, you were talking about your fingers. You got to keep doing things to keep those fingers nimble and your body nimble.
Yep.
And pure water will do that as well if your body's not filtering the water. So we're always big believers that you get Beauchamp Water Treatment Solutions out there. You have them do a free water test. You find out if you've got some contaminants in the water, and you make sure you're drinking a lot of good, clean, pure water. I know you don't. I know you wouldn't argue that. I know you well enough to to know that you would support that. That's funny though. You're kind of blessed out there. You got a good water supply because I know you dug a pond and put a pump in, well for that too, right?
Well, yeah, but it was artesian fed until they put the towers up behind me and they took the head off the artesian well. They hit it and it literally looked like.
So I poked a wound when I brought that up.
No. But it literally looked like a fire hydrant had broken off. It
really?
Was straight up in the air, and so, yeah. Now they. Artesian's coming back after a couple of years. So the well is, we don't use it. It really.
Really?
Yeah. I, you know.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Because you got a beautiful pond out there.
Yeah. Thank you.
You've also got vinyl fencing, a bunch of it. Did you enclose pretty much all of the 5 acres?
10 acres.
10 acres. That's right. You bought additional land. So would you buy vinyl fencing again?
Absolutely. I love it.
It's beautiful.
I love it. Yeah, it's an equestrian style fence, 3-rail plastic fence. There is no wood in underneath it or anything. It's hollow.
That's what I was going to ask you. Our article yesterday in the Detroit News Homestyle section was on fencing. We interviewed Tiffany Buell from T. Buell Superior Fencing last week at the show in Novi. And vinyl fencing has really come of age. How long have you had that out there?
I want to say 3 years, years.
Any issues with it? You
no,
got posts heaving?
No, none at all.
Are what those posts over wooden poles?
No, that's put in the ground and it's only put in 18 inches and then concrete around it. In other words, ready mix cement. I put a half a bag in each hole, which is 40 pounds per hole.
Okay.
And
so you were still hefting the 80-pound bags 3 years ago?
Yeah. Well,
an old man like you?
Yeah. Don't ask me to do it today.
You and I'd have to be lifting them together.
There's 10 acres of fence. Every 8 foot, there's a pole. So it's pretty incredible.
And it's 3-rail.
Yes.
How do those rails secure?
They just slide in. And then they
slide into
a
notch?
Yeah, they slide into a notch. You have 3 notches in each one. You slide the fence in, and then it locks in place. It's got little ungulations on the end of each 16.
Okay.
So each one's 16 foot long. And you slide it in into 3 rails and lock it in place, and then you
You haven't seen any cracking or yellowing or distorting
nothing.
Or
the only place you see a little rust from the I have a sprinkler system, and if the sprinkler system gets too close to it, it'll rust up.
Because you've got iron.
Yeah, a little bit of iron.
Gotcha.
Not much. So
that's...
I can't say enough good things about that. I purchased mine online from a place called Gardner Fence.
Okay.
And I questioned the depth The depth is what killed me.
The 18-inch thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Sold you on it? Because that'd be a tough sell.
Well, I thought, you know, the whole world can't be wrong. I got to see what's going on with this. She told me that they had like 200 acres up in Montreal with it, and they put it in all over Minneapolis.
Okay.
All around Minnesota, and that's where they were
at 18 inches.
At 18 inches, and what happens is if you get any frost at 18 inches, it goes up the middle of the pole where it's hollow.
Okay.
So the pole doesn't move. So, I've had it in a good maybe 5 years. I've had that in, and no problem.
You know, the first thing that occurs to me when I listen to you isn't that you're wrong. It's that I would be getting a jurisdiction where they'd say, no, Chuck, you got to take those down 42 inches.
Well, that's an interesting story. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Hillsdale. I called Hillsdale.
And that's where you are.
Yeah, I called Hillsdale because if you want to do anything, if you want to paint your kitchen in Livonia, you better have permits. So I called them and I said.
And you were in Livonia with your business for years.
Yeah, yes. I had a couple of shops in Livonia for years, and I lived in Plymouth Township. But anywhere out there, you have to permit. So I called them and said, what kind of permit do I need? I want to put up a fence. And he goes, permit? And I said, yeah. He said, are you going over 7 feet? I said, no. I'm just doing a regular fence, 5 feet and rails. He goes, you don't need no damn permit.
That was out in Hillsdale.
I love this.
That was out in Hillsdale.
It sold me. Yeah, I love the place.
I love that.
I was the chief inspector out in Hillsdale County that told me that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you don't need a permit for that. But you're right. I mean, that's the first thing you would think is that the inspector would come out and say, hey,
you're going to go 42 inches with those poles. Right.
So you understand you can't with those poles if you wanted to because they got three rails in them. So you'd be burying the bottom rail if you went down that.
Well, that's funny. I was going to bring that up too. Hey, we're going to be right back. I want to ask you about generators too, Pat, because they've changed a lot in the last few decades that we've known each other, right?
Yep.
Don't forget. The ground is getting warm now. The ants, ground termites south of M46 here in Michigan, you got all kinds of critters that are going to want to be coming into your house, and you need a company like Rove, R-O-V-E, Pest Control, to make sure you live pest-free. Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. It's Chuck and Pat Kelly today. If you've got any questions about mechanical systems, heating, ventilating, air conditioning, geotherm, solar, we got the guy here to answer those questions for you, and it's not me, it's Mr. Pat Kelly. Thank you, Pat. Appreciate you being here.
I'm glad to be here, Chuck.
I really do. Hey, you have been doing generators as long as anybody I know. I mean, I've been buying the portable generators for 40 years and burning up the old Generacs on the job sites years ago. Because they were back then what I called throwaway generators. You're wearing a nice Generac shirt today or sweater. They've changed, haven't they?
Oh, man. I have something I liken it to. I liken it to when getting back to how long I've been installing, I don't know anybody that's installed longer than me. It's been 23 years I've been in
the
business.
Well, if you cut you in half and count the rings, you've been around a lot. You've been around a long time.
So I really literally don't know anybody. There's my buddy Gary from Oak Electric has been in the business a long time. So we're like the old dogs.
Gary seems like a young guy to me.
He is a young man.
He's a punk kid, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not nose punk.
No, I know. I mean that in a complimentary fashion.
No, he's a wonderful young man.
But, yeah, he is.
He's 51.
Okay.
So he's 52, actually.
He's a youngster.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, when he started doing it years ago, we used to work for DTE, and Generac was not a really good company, and we didn't much care to install them. We hated installing them, and they just they were okay, but they weren't. So what
like
they
I
did
said,
was
we used to burn them, the portables up on the jobs and just throw them away and buy another one.
Yeah, almost everything I own now is Generac, and I have two houses with two generators, and so it's just a great, great piece of equipment now. I became a dealer, I think, in 2001, maybe two. I became a Generac
dealer. So what would be a whole house install cost?
Between back then, $14,000 to $15,000 for a whole house generator back then.
And today, a whole house on average?
$10,000 to to 13 for a whole house installation.
Amazing.
Yeah. So they've actually come down in price.
Yeah.
We used to do what they called a sub-panel application where we'd do just part of the house for DTE Energy. You could put a smaller generator in that way.
And you'd have to install a separate sub-panel for that.
Yeah, and it would save you some money because the generator was so much cheaper. Now the generators are half the equation. The other half is
they're better quality and actually
better,
lower price. They're better value today than they were.
Oh, much better. Much better. They're all aluminum now, aluminum housing. A couple things have happened. Over the years, they used to put lawnmower engines in a generator.
Okay.
And lawnmower engines aren't made to run for a long time, right? And now they're generator-driven engines. I mean, they're made for generators, period. And Generac just does a great job on it. I can't say enough good things. I've been to their factory a couple times.
And you said $10,000 to $12,000. You see them advertised all the time for $2,000, $3,000 for the generator.
Read what it says underneath it, plus installation, plus permits. And that's a 7.5 kW I wouldn't put in my doghouse. It comes with a 50-amp switch,
What would an average house with at least a minimum 100 amps take?
Averaged with 100 amp would probably be 18 kW.
Okay.
But the kW doesn't really matter.
Doesn't it?
Well, you have to have somebody size it. You have to be able to use whatever you have on the end of it has to start. So you can't put in something and say, I'm never going to run my air conditioner. Because guess what? Somebody else is going to buy that house someday. And if you're sitting with too small of a generator and the air conditioner goes to fire up and the customer has an oxygen machine, he's going to die. Because he's going to be without power.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it was a new code. I don't typically like a lot of the codes. That one I like.
What did the code say, Pat?
They never had anything that addressed that. When we first started putting in generators, and Gary could tell you this too because he's been doing it that long, we'd have people that wanted to do a whole house with a little 8 kW generator.
Okay.
Well, you can't do it. Well, yeah, you can because I'm never going to turn on the air conditioner. And, you know, I don't have a well and so they would do the whole house. But guess what? We've been back and replaced those generators over and over again over the years.
Really? So, replace them to make them bigger, not because they failed.
Yeah, right. Replace them to make them bigger. But anyways, Generac is a great company. I've been there. I know a lot of the vice president. I know just about everybody there. And they took their money.
They're a far better machine today.
They took their money and they did research and development, and they blew everybody out of the water. A lot of companies haven't done anything as far as technology goes. Generac has. They keep updating.
We used to look at Kohler, Cummins, Honda as the premier generators.
Honda didn't make a standby generator.
No, I'm sorry, as a portable.
Oh, right, yeah. If I was going to buy a portable generator, it would be a Generac. Generac makes by far superior to everybody. They're in a generator business. Kohler's not. Kohler makes sinks and toilets, just so you remember.
Right? Yeah. No, that's a good point.
So, I mean, these guys concentrate on generators. Nobody does it better. Nobody.
Where are they built?
Good old U.S. of A., Wisconsin. So, in Tennessee now. So since I retired, they opened a plant down in Tennessee, and they're building them down there as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think about that. Of course, a lot of people are we predicted years ago, I think, with you, that at some point every house would have a
– It's coming to fruition now. It really is. I mean, there's so many people now that I would tell you that there's nobody out there that doesn't want a generator.
Does the mortgage industry
– Until they hear the price. I'm sorry?
Does the mortgage industry recognize that?
It does
the appraisal
now.
Side?
For the first time in the last 2 years, they came out with it increases the value of the home 3 to 5%. So imagine if
that's
you have
huge.
A million-dollar home and it increases it by 5%. That's this year. Next year might be 8%. But it doesn't matter how – it doesn't say, you know, a one-year-old generator or a six-year-old or a 10-year-old generator. So
that was my next question.
If you have a generator.
Is there a life to them? I know you've lived out – where you are, what, 6-8 years now?
I haven't lived there. I've only lived there for 2 years. But
you had the place.
Yeah, and I put a generator in 8 years ago.
8 years ago, okay. that generator still good, still serviceable?
Here's how that works. There's two different kinds of generators. There's air-cooled and liquid-cooled.
Okay.
Liquid-cooled's got a car engine in it with glycol running through it to cool it. That's what I have. I have two of those. And
of
those
course
are,
you do.
Well, it was partially because I could. The other part is my home is all electric. So I have geotherm and
you've got several buildings.
Yeah, a couple. And so
a couple.
But anyway, so that this is how it used to shake out. Well, we'll talk about it after the break.
Man, I knew the show was going to fly by. Coming up, hopefully, we've got Ron Alexander from Shelby Mechanical calling in to say hello to everybody. But we want to remind everybody, with this heavy rain, we've had some pumps been running. Your crawl space and basement may have some leaks in it. We've got a solution for you in Foundation Authority. Chuck Bridenstine and Pat Kelly, and in just a minute, we're going to have Ron Alexander from Shelby Mechanical on. But I wanted to finish a thought, Pat, real quick. The life expectancy of generators today, whole house generator.
Well, and I can't speak about today. This I could speak about 15 years ago when I was having meetings about this stuff.
And okay.
Back 15 years ago, they expected a generator to last 10,000 hours, an air-cooled generator.
Oh, okay.
Now, you know, I don't know how many days that is, but it's more than I think I'm going to live.
Do you think that was conservative or accurate back then?
I think it was. I think it proved to be accurate back then. I think it's much more now, but I don't know.
Okay.
But I will tell you that back then, liquid cooled, which is what I have, it's 30,000 hours before you rebuild it.
Wow.
The air cooled was $10,000 before you replace it.
Oh. Okay.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And let me just ask you one short question. Are you seeing a lot of failure or no?
No, not okay. Not in Generac, but there are some. Ken Calverley's got a failure on his Cummins. Not to say that none of them won't. They're all man-made.
Sure.
So they're no different than buying a car.
And that's
but we don't see a high failure rate of
electronic thing, right?
Yeah.
Not a mechanical thing.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
With yeah, Ken's. Right. Okay, right now we've got Ron Alexander, owner of Shelby Mechanical, on the line with us. Ron, can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning. How are you guys doing?
We are doing great. I don't know if you've met Pat Kelly, but he's a great gentleman and a dear friend of mine, so feel free, Pat.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I was just driving up to Port Austin, so my signal was in and out, but I didn't I don't know if your listeners know it. I mean, did you guys discuss gas meters for generators at all? Because you can't get them.
Not yet.
Yeah.
You can't get them.
Yeah, not until the second quarter of next year if you're thinking of getting one, yeah.
I ordered mine in the fall of last year, and I still won't see it. It'll be, a year, almost a year, and I don't know, a half, maybe. And they still won't guarantee it.
Wow. So, we'll have to talk about that.
Same thing with tankless water heaters. A lot of times we have to increase the meter when we gas pipe those. In the same situation, they can't get upgraded meters right now.
Well, Ron, as long as we're talking about that, one of the things that Shelby Mechanicals does is Rinnai tankless water heaters. You want to talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, certainly. I think that's the only brand we install. I mean, we've been installing them for at least 20-some-odd years. I got to be honest with you. I think we've serviced three, maybe. They're bulletproof. They last forever. I mean, we're on commercial projects now. If you're thinking about, you know, the old 199, 100,000 bigger tanks, they have these dynamic duos we're installing in a lot of apartment complexes and commercial buildings where it's actually a tankless strap to a tank. So you have a lot of volume your first hour. I mean, they're fantastic units. I mean, that's why I install them. You can buy some cheap ones from big box stores, but don't ask us to install it because we're not going to constantly service it because that's what they require.
You called that a dynamic duo. That's a tankless strap to a tank?
Yes. Yes, Rinnai has that out. And we've been really pushing them pretty hard lately for we deal directly with Rinnai through a local supply house. But we've been doing a lot of them in apartment complexes as the old style. The old boiler on top of a tank start failing. These are much more efficient. I think they're pushing like 97% to 98%. I mean, they're fantastic units.
How about the water quality issue with the tankless? Because we hear a lot of different stories.
Well, I mean, I've installed some, you know, at places up north and in friends of mine cabins and things. We usually, you know, we'll check their water, but we usually put just kind of a pre-filter in case any sand comes in. And what we do after we install it, we will come out, we'll send you an email in a year, and we'll come out and flush it out and inspect it. And if it's really clean after cycling the water through it, we'll send you one in a couple of years and come by and take a look at it. If it's really dirty, if it looks like there's going to be an issue, we can put on another filter. You know, there's some things we can do, but normally we haven't had any problems unless it's a really, really high iron, then you might want to put an iron filter or you know, but most of the time, by the time we install them, the homeowner already knows what's in their water, and we can adapt to that.
Hey, Ron, this is Pat. I have a question for you, and this might be for another time because I'm really, really curious. But does Rinnai offer one with a recirc pump built into it?
Yes. Yeah, they do. And then even if it's an existing home, they have that crossover we can put under a sink at the farthest point. We just connect the hot cold, and you can flip it into a recirc. And
well, you can't. You can't do that. That
why do you even care? What the heck is that? I'm
so sorry, Ron.
Pump?
And boy, yep. You know what? We need to carry on this conversation. I'd love to talk to you about this because I'm in that process. And so what I ended up having to do is put a regular tank in line to tank the water before I could recirc it with the kind of recirc pump you're talking about, little ground foss pump that you put a
We don't put the tankless come with their own inside. They have a small Rinnai's have
well,
a small.
Well, they do now, but they didn't.
Yeah,
and when did. I bought one, correct. They didn't, and so I had to make it work. But I would love to talk to you about that, Ron.
Why would somebody want one?
Well, the downside of tankless water heaters, if there is one, is because they're sitting there turned off. When you call for hot water, and if you're in a larger home and the tank's down in the you know, the far end of the basement and your master's on the top floor on the other end of the house, it's going to take a while. If you're just washing your hands, the water might not get hot by the time it gets there. That's the only downside. But we can put a recirc in that bathroom where you can set a timer, you can set it at temperature, and what it'll do is it'll do a slow loop. It has a small tank. The big tank doesn't fire up, or the big heat exchanger. They have a smaller one inside the Rinnai. It just warms the water enough to keep it warm and recircs it. So when you need hot water, it's there, and you're not. But I mean, the upside is, once the hot water gets there, it's there forever. I mean, you take a shower for a week if you want to; it's not going to run out.
I like that. Let me. Just people don't know about Shelby Mechanical. What all services do you guys provide to our listeners, Ron?
Well, we are a full service plumbing contractor. I mean, we do. Industrial, commercial, we're repiping Palmer Park apartments. We get into hotels, and then we have a whole service department. We have multiple jetters where we can jet out your sewer line. We actually camera every job where a lot of competitors advertise they do, but they never do. So we welcome the homeowner to stand there with us while we do it. We'll show them the whole sewer if there's an issue and what the problem is once we get it open. But we usually start with a snake and then work our way up. We don't start at the top and charge the most for a jet out if it's not necessary. So water heaters, I mean, anything with plumbing we do. And we get a lot of general contractors call us where they can't get somebody to do a project or there's an issue with it. And those are the jobs I like to get involved in, ones that nobody else will do. And we have to figure it out. So we've got a slew of master plumbers, journeyman plumbers. So we've got the guys, the manpower. We average anywhere between 25 and 30 some odd guys. We have four girls in the office answering the phone. So you're not going to call and get somebody or their voice mail because they're working on a job site. Someone will always answer the phone. And most of the time they give my cell number out if they got a question, and I have no problems with people calling me directly. I FaceTime customers. If it's something simple at their house, I'll tell them FaceTime me and I'll show them, you know, walk them through fixing it and then call me when they really need us. So that makes a lot of people happy if we can do that for them too.
How big a geographic area are you guys able to cover at Shelby Mechanical?
We've done medical buildings in Carroll. We do apartments in Arbor. I mean, if it's a big enough job, I mean, obviously I'm not going to send service guys for a small little leak across, out to land. Not cost effective.
We appreciate you. We'll give out your contact information, and we hope to hear from you. If you get any interesting jobs, give the show a call and talk about it with the listeners, okay?
We certainly will. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
You bet. We'll talk about that, Patrick.
Stay well, Ron. Be safe on the roads. You've heard about a great plumbing company there in Shelby Mechanical. Now, you also on the east side may need a great electrician, and we strongly recommend that you call Lake Point Electric for all your electrical needs. Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. Pat Kelly is with Chuck today, which means you probably want to talk to Pat Kelly. We're going to open up the phone lines, 888-654-4897. You wanted to give a shout-out.
I do. I want to give a shout out to my grandson Mason and Killian, my nephew, who are listening to me right now.
How cool!
So, yeah,
we're training those young men to listen to good AM radio.
Good conservative AM radio.
I like that. We were talking about the longevity issue and the cost issue. You told me something that surprised me. You said permitting can be $600 on a generator install.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, and that was me. There's other companies that charge more than that.
Okay.
But here's the reason why. It takes two permits to put in a generator. It takes mechanical and electrical.
Okay. How come? Explain it to people.
We take all the gas in your house and mix it with all the electric in your house. So there's two different inspectors that want to get their hands in on
that. Is that gas meter thing going to be an issue?
No, typically not.
Okay.
But what Ron was talking about, it depends on if you have two furnaces or if you have an on-demand hot water heater. Your typical gas meter, this is what I taught it or didn't teach. This is what I spoke about at the inspector meetings, that your typical gas meter, they call it a 175 or 250. That's your typical gas meter at home.
What do those numbers represent?
Model. Oh. That's it.
Okay.
And so I used to work for Detroit Edison. And they gave me an interpretation sheet. And the interpretation sheet goes like this. Those two models are good for 350,000 BTUs. And a lot of people don't want to hear that, but that's the bottom line. So,
that's a lot of that's input, right?
Right. So in most cases, a 175 or 250 is going to be enough because let's say you put in a 22 or a 24, that's 300,000 BTU full load. Your furnace is at, let's just say, range of 100,000, and let's say that your furnace is 100 and your hot water tank is 40,000 BTUs. That would be your standard home.
So that wouldn't even be half of that meter's
Well, no,
capacity.
It would be more if you added it all up. However, the generator only runs at 200,000 CFM. 90% of the time it runs at what we call half load. The only time it bumps full load goes up to 300,000 is when the air conditioner comes on, the furnace comes out of the equation. So that's what I had to talk about at the inspector's meeting. So they understood that 175 and a 250, because a lot of times the inspector will say, no, you got to have an upgraded meter or I'm not going to pass it. The other thing I would tell you about that is they have no jurisdiction over your gas meter. So they can't make you spend $625 or and that price changes out where I'm at, Consumers Energy, to get a 405 gas meter is $625.
We've got a guy that wants some advice on larger liquid-cooled generators, Tim from Temperance. You want to talk to him?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm glad you didn't say no. Tim, are you with us?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Pat, this question is for you.
Yes, sir, Tim.
I'm a glass artist. And I'm planning right now on putting a major addition on my house along with a separate studio to do the glass castings with.
Yes.
I've considered a number of ways to go with a liquid cool generator and I'd like to get your opinion on whether it would be good to go. In the old studio, when I was blowing glass, we had a 20-horse Honda, and that thing lasted forever and a day.
Yep.
Now I'm looking at, something larger. Okay. And since I can write it off, all I have to do is run a line. I can power the house with it, too. Should I go with a larger liquid cool generator that's commercially available? Should I try to find something military that's surplus, or what would you think?
No, I'm a huge temp. First off, I've been in the generator business for 23 years, so I've seen all different applications. But let me ask you something about your studio. Is your studio got a separate meter on it, or is it fed from your house?
It will have a separate meter on it.
Okay.
I'm with Michigan Gas Utilities, and it's going to be new construction.
Okay. I think down in Temperance, if I'm not mistaken, and not that this matters, but it's just something you need to keep in mind, I think it was Temperance is where I was at, where they actually entered the house with 1 pound of gas, where we only use a quarter of a pound up in DTE or in consumers. In other words, we use 7 inches of water column. And down in Temperance, when I was down there, I was actually at homes that had 1 pound coming into the house. I never saw anything like it. But
how many inches of water column would that equal?
Well, 1 pound is four times. It'd be 4 times 7 inches.
28?
So, yeah, 28
wow.
inches to a pound.
So that's a bunch.
Yeah. So
okay.
All that means is that you'd need a regulator on your generator. So let me tell you
if I might interrupt.
Yes, sir.
When my best friend and I built the glass blowing studio with that was consumers for the gas at that location in Lenawee County.
Yeah.
We got 10 pounds of pressure to the building.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot. Well, that's right, because you're doing glass blowing. Yeah, okay, got it. But anyways, your liquid cooled is always the way to go if you want to go if you're thinking of running long term with a generator. Liquid cooled's bet. So I'm sorry, Tim.
Tim, we're gonna have to take a break here. If you want to hold on, you're welcome to.
Okay. Indeed.
Okay. Great question. And Pat, you can answer that maybe after the top of the hour if you're good with that, buddy.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that. Hey, I want to remind everybody, there is something you can do to your house that will pay you back not only the first day you buy it, but for as long as that house or building stands. And that's good, professionally installed thermal insulation. And to get that, call Blown Insulation MI. Blown Insulation MI. Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. We want to thank Ron Alexander from Shelby Mechanical for coming on with us. Now we've got Gary from Diamond Coat Building Products, I hope, on the end of our line. Gary, are you with us?
Ken, good morning to you.
How are you?
Oh, Chuck. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm doing well for a Saturday. Beautiful Saturday day outside.
Gary, want to introduce you to Pat Kelly, a dear friend and a good friend of the show. How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So, Gary, we've got something coming up, I think, next weekend, right?
We do. We've got a great event coming up next Saturday, April 15th. Obviously, you folks will be doing the live broadcast from 10 to 12 at one of our partners, CNL Ward in Davison.
I'll tell you what, we've got a lot of listeners in the Davison area, so do we invite people to come out to CNL Ward that day?
Absolutely. We look forward to having as many people as possible come out. We're going to be actually running the event starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday. We will have all kinds of different games and food on hand, and also lots of different prizes for everybody, including a grand prize winner for everybody that shows up and registers. We're giving away a solo stove. So just stop out and say hi to the folks at CNL, learn about Diamond Coats, learn about CNL Ward as far as our partner that and what they do for everybody. And you could win a solo stove.
Gary, tell us about Diamond Coat Building Products.
Sure, absolutely. So as we've talked about in the past, Diamond Coat Building Products is an engineered wood siding with a 50-year substrate warranty. It's a complete siding system that's made here in America, actually made just across the lake over in Wisconsin. And it tops it off with a 30-year no-fade warranty on our finish. So we offer 27 different colors, including our dual blend finish, which is a finish that looks like a stained wood product without the need to restain it every so many years. It's a 30-year no-fade warranty. That means that all of our colors will stay that exact same color so you can enjoy your house and not have to maintain it.
And CNL Ward is installing Diamond Coat products now.
They are. They have been for quite a few years now, but CNL is one of the many partners that we have all across the Metro Detroit area and all across the state of Michigan. They're servicing a wide variety of customers all across the state. So they can do, not only can they take care of you on their siding needs, but they can also handle windows, doors, and all kinds of other replacement needs. But they obviously focus on Diamond Coat, and they do a fantastic job with us, one of our many partners here in Michigan.
They're a good company. You said it's going to start at 9 a.m. this coming Saturday. They're on Lapeer Road, and they're just west of M-15 in Davison. So we invite the public out there, right?
Absolutely. Everybody's welcome to come out, see everything there is to know about CNL Ward, see, learn all about Diamond Coat Building Products, have some good food, some good companionship, and then obviously listen to you and Ken on the radio and see how your broadcasts go.
Hey, we look forward to seeing you there, Gary. You've become a friend personally as well as professionally, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And we've got, don't forget, we've got our trip to Wisconsin Monday, Tuesday after that. So we're going to be spending some time together here.
Looking forward to that. Well, thank you, sir. We'll see you next week. If you have anything in between now and then, let us know, okay?
We will absolutely do that. Everybody have a great, blessed set Sunday, Easter Sunday. Enjoy your time with your family and friends.
God bless you. Thank you, sir. We'll see you next Saturday in Davison.
Thanks, Chuck.
Bye,
Gary. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Hey, Pat, Tim is still on the line, so I think he wants an answer from you regarding what you do with that liquid-cooled generator.
Are you there, Tim?
I certainly am. Thank you.
Tim, listen, I would 100% use a liquid cooled, but here's the issue that you have with a liquid cooled. Right now, it's a 16-week lead time for an industrial generator, which is the same as a residential, just a different color pretty much. But and it's like a 32-week for a residential generator. So if you want to order up a generator, you might want to get on it now.
That's liquid cooled, Pat.
Yeah, liquid cooled. Air cooled is plentiful. Go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
Oh, the other question that I have is it's definitely going to be a large generator. I'm doing castings that are in the oven for as much as a month at a time. They are huge.
Yeah.
The other question that I have for you is, and again, I know nothing about this, the quality of the power that's getting to all the electronic controls to control these things.
That's a great question. And a lot of generators, most of your bigger generators have clean energy, but I would tell you that the cleanest I've seen, and I've been doing it for 23 years, is the Generac product. We've put in we put in Cummins, we put in everything known to man. And you're only going to find a couple of the big ones anyways, you know, where you get up to 60, 80 kW if you're thinking of something like that. But I would definitely have it sized. Have somebody come out and do a load calc of what your load's going to be, and then just get one a little bit bigger than what your load calc is.
Well, the one I'm using right now on a rental basis has four separate electrical circuits going into the casting kiln that are single phase 220.
Yep. Well, how many amps? Can you tell me that?
You know, I really don't know.
The answer.
I am ignorant.
Okay. Just so you know, Tim, the amps are what you're really looking for. You don't look for 220. 220 can be, you know, 5 amps, 15 amps, 20 amps. Or it can be 50 amps. So what you're looking for is the amp draw when you're trying to size a generator. But I'd be happy go ahead.
Pardon me for interrupting. If I remember correctly, they are 50-amp circuits, one of them.
Again, I would tell you to call a company like K&B Energy and have them size the generator for you, and then you can go from there. Sizing doesn't cost you anything. Okay. Tim,
thank
it was
you
nice
so
talking
much for
to
answering
you.
My question.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate that. Hey, I want to remind everybody, we got the rainy season here, and if you're not getting the surface water from your roof away from the house properly and safely and consistently, you're probably going to have foundation issues. So we want you to talk to Christian's Gutters about getting a quality and properly sized gutter system to take water away from the foundation. That's Christian's Gutters. Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate you being with us. We've got Pat Kelly riding. I don't know. We'll call you the host and me the co-host. How's that?
That's fine.
That work well? I love it. Pat's just in the process of obtaining another property down in the Hillsdale area. Is that Hillsdale County, Pat?
Hillsdale County.
Okay. My wife went to school down there. She's got a lot of family down there. So I'm somewhat familiar with it. You just got to invite me to out to your house again, my son and I, so we can play with your toys. Pat's got toys.
Yeah.
Pat, you've got more toys than anybody I know. God bless you. I love it. If you've got any questions, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-654-4897. Pat is my mechanical expert. I know you don't like hearing that word to reference you, but you're as much of an expert as I know. To me, an expert is one who has great experience of learning over a long period of time, not just 20 years of the same thing repeated for 20 years, and you're always striving to learn new stuff. I respect
that. I do.
That.
I am one who likes to learn. I mean,
I'm
done learning.
I think that's you and I think have that in common. We just love learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keeps us going.
Yeah, and I can't always remember what I learned, but I love learning it.
Well, the good news is, at this point in life, we get to relearn the same thing and be surprised the second time or the third time. You were talking to Tim about liquid-cooled generators. For commercial application, is that the only thing you're going to install?
We've installed some air-cooled. Actually, they make an air-cooled 20 kW three-phase, and I'll tell you what that's for. Yeah, I'll tell you what that's for. Because a 20 kW natural gas, you can assume that if you've got a business, you're natural gas.
Okay.
A natural gas 20 kW three-phase might only put out 60 amps. And don't quote me on that, but okay. I would think it would be in there somewhere. So it's not very big. What it's really for is IT rooms. So a lot of IT rooms are three-phase panels, so it's to back up a little IT room.
I didn't realize that IT used three-phase.
Yeah, there's a lot of rooms. There's a lot of IT rooms that use single-phase, but they're in a three-phase panel. So they get into a commercial application, they'll put in a lot of three-phase panels for breaker space, but they're not using three-phase switching in it.
If you don't mind, at least until the phone rings, let me ask you, Tim brought up a question. You and I have discussed it many times. Clean electricity. There's a difference.
Oh, yeah.
So talk to that a little bit.
Well, I can a little bit. You know, it's all about harmonics. So over the years, we've had a lot of harmonics issues. When we used to put in generators, I'll give you an example. The 25 kW generator used to run at 3,600 RPMs.
Okay.
So it ran pretty fast RPM. I mean, a lot of the bigger
generators was running at 3,600 RPMs, or the generator was?
The generator was.
Okay.
So when a lot of times the bigger generators, the 150s, will run at 3,600 RPMs. And when it starts up, you want to take off running because you think something's wrong with it. It's loud and it's fast.
Okay.
It sounds like it's going to blow up, but they run just fine.
Would that be more wear and tear running at that RPM?
Well, I think so, and a lot of people say no. They say just the opposite. But, however, my idea of a liquid-cooled generator is, one, it runs at 1,800 RPMs. So instead of the 25, you'd use a 27. It's got a bigger motor. So they run it at 3,600 RPMs so they can run a smaller motor. If you run a bigger motor, you can run it at 1,800 RPMs.
Okay.
But that sounds like an idling car, and that's really nice.
Yeah.
But getting back to the harmonics of the clean energy, the 25 kW threw out a little dirtier energy. So what did that mean? Well, I could put a 25 kW on a factory that just wanted lighting, but if it was LED lighting, it would flash. they keep flashing because it's dirty electricity. So you have to step up to a, you know, at the time I had a 48 in stock, so I changed it out to a 48, and it took care of the lighting. Or a lot of times you'll have to put an inline transformer. You have to have a coil of copper will clean the electricity. However, all of that's going away over the years. So now what they're doing is they're pushing out much cleaner electricity. There was a time that today's furnaces, variable speed furnaces, ECM motors, would not run with a yesterday's generator because it's not clean enough electricity. So Tim's question is
literally
very
wouldn't
valid.
Run them or wouldn't
yeah,
run
would
them
not
properly?
Run them. You couldn't run them. It would not fire up like a variable speed furnace with an ECM motor if you had an old generator.
Electronically commutated motors.
Very good. So a lot of times you'd go in, these people would put in a new furnace, and then the power would go out, and the furnace wouldn't run, and they didn't understand why. Well, because they had an older generator that didn't push out clean energy.
Okay.
So Tim's question was valid. All of their electricity is much cleaner.
So are high-end electronics more sensitive to clean electricity?
Yep, absolutely.
Can I get dirty electricity from the pole
outside? No, everything's made to run off the pole. But when you're running temporary electricity, such as a gasoline generator or an old standby generator, it won't push out clean electricity.
Interesting. It's fascinating stuff. Speaking of the high-efficiency furnaces, air conditioning systems, which just brings to mind another question I'm going to ask you when we come back, Pat. If you haven't got your air conditioning system checked, it's going to be running here shortly as the weather warms up. We want you to contact Sharon's Heating and Air Conditioning.
I enjoy whenever you're on. Fantastic. Just listening to you. Anyhow,
thank you
this
very
deals
much.
With – okay. I've listened to you before. I had three estimates for the generator installation, the standby.
Yes, sir.
Now, each one of them talks about a yearly maintenance thing. I have two questions for you, Pat. What do they do when they do the yearly maintenance? And number two, the prices that they want. One guy wants $110 a year for that maintenance. Another guy wants $340. So I got to find out from you what is done and what's a reasonable price for that maintenance.
Well, that's a million-dollar question. Now, the yearly maintenance is a great idea. And Lou, just so you know, if your generator runs more than 100 hours, Generac recommends that you change the oil, either 100 hours or once a year.
Four straight days.
Yeah. So it's a good thing to change it out. The maintenance, they normally take care of changing your spark plugs, your oil filter, synthetic oil, and air cleaner. So Lou, here's what happens. Most of our guys are making a technician that's changing oil. He's probably like $28 an hour. You put him in a $40,000 vehicle, $40,000 worth of tools, and you send him out. What's that worth?
If you're paying somebody's $28 an hour, he's costing you $60.
Right. Well, yeah. And so long and short of it is, When it's all said and done, if somebody's doing it for 110, run like the wind. I would tell you that the 300 – now, 300 is a reasonable price. Anywhere between 250 and 300, that's a reasonable price. You'll get the job done great. And remember that these technicians have to go to school every year to learn what they're doing, changing the filters and plugs. They have to be a certified Generac technician.
Are they checking electronics on that device?
Well, it depends on what year they look at it. They have it like year one, two, and three. Sometimes they're checking the torques on the head bolts and so on there. So, and then they check electronics. You know, the generator vibrates, so you want to check your connections. But it's just a good idea. I used to have my maintenance done on my generators, but now I'm too far away from everybody and I have to do it myself. But that's okay. I mean, what kind of product are you looking at buying, Lou, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, definitely from your recommendation.
Generac?
Definitely Generac.
Very good. I'm really pleased to hear it. Yeah. And, Lou, if somebody hasn't told you, you have until the 16th of this month to receive the 10-year parts and labor warranty. So if you sign up with somebody before the 16th of this month, they give you 10 years. And Lou, I can't say enough good things. Makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up just talking about it. They are a great company, and they stand behind their warranty great.
Yeah, and you had mentioned before that the it's a spark plug, it's changing oil, it's filter, it's an air cleaner, and the electronics.
Sir.
So 250 to 300, because a lot of them don't want to do it unless you get that maintenance contract. They frown upon installation, you know.
Well, then find yourself another company. I would tell you that. My old company, I'm retired now, but K&B Energy still does it, and we can.
We've got a few that do too.
Yeah, and
Bratcher Electric.
Yeah, anyone. Yeah. Just find yourself another company. Do not tie it to a maintenance to get that 10-year rate.
Yes.
Yeah, you can do the maintenance yourself. Don't think that a company is going to walk away from the maintenance or the warranty work on it. So,
yeah, if I could see it on a YouTube, I'll do it, but. I don't want to mess up a $12,000 unit because I'm doing it the wrong way, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So,
that's once a year that they should come out, Pat?
Yeah,
once
yeah. Actually, Generac says you could do it every 2 years, but Lou, I tell you, every year. I'm an old guy that believes in changing oil. So even if it's
filters.
If it's only exercising, you could do it. You know, it only exercises for 5 minutes a week. So if it's only exercising, you could get away with 2 years. But do I think that? No, I think you need to change that oil out every year. The company that you're dealing with should be calling you and letting you know it's time to change it out.
Yeah.
Okay? And you don't have to sign a contract.
Okay. Now, this thing will kick on automatically 5 minutes a week. Or I'm not sure what you...
Yes, 5 minutes. They used to run for 20, and then they went down to 15 and 12. Now they're all the way down to 5 minutes because they're using brushless motors. So all it's doing is throwing oil through the motor, synthetic oil. It's not doing anything to your power at all.
All right, and my son-in-law, question for you. We had a recent bad storms here. The thing was running for 5 days.
Yes, sir.
Does that mean we should get somebody in now to do the tune-up on that? Because it's five days, 24 hours.
Yeah, certainly do the oil change on it. But, yeah, it would be a good idea. Generac recommends every 100 hours. And
100 hours.
My answer would, I would say absolutely. Get it changed out as soon as you can. And,
Thank you.
One more thing.
Yes.
One more thing, Lou. A generator has a tendency to burn oil. I don't care what generator it is. It's going to burn a little oil when it runs for 5 days. So a Generac generator normally goes off on an oil fault after it gets down about a quarter low. But the bottom line is don't be afraid if it burns a little oil. Okay?
Okay. And how much oil goes in that, Pat?
It less than 2 quarts in an air-cooled generator. So
okay.
It's about a
Chuck,
quart
I
and three
I think
quarters.
We should have Pat every other week. He's great to listen to.
Thank you so
he's
much.
He's got a lot of toys, like you said.
Thank you for the kind words.
Thanks very much, all right?
Yep, have a good day.
Appreciate it. You mentioned synthetic oil. I'm a big believer in good oil and good oil filters.
Do you know why synthetic?
Go ahead.
It stays liquid during the wintertime. It stays. It doesn't thicken up. Regular oil will thicken up in the wintertime.
Okay. I like that.
How's that?
So there's less wear and tear. I did not know that. And I've used synthetic in everything I own for years.
We use a 520 weight in a Generac.
I think my car takes a 530. I think the truck takes a little heavier. Interesting. And so it's funny. You said it runs, it exercises 5 minutes a week now to keep oil, to keep the internal mechanism lubricated?
Yes. Yeah, just to keep everything ready
to
go.
Nothing to do with the electronics or the power itself or the generator generating electricity?
Nope. Doesn't do any of that. They used to run it for 12 minutes and 15 minutes, and then once it was 20, and that's to dry out the brushes on the motors, but they don't use brushless motors now.
Wow.
So they only run it for 5 minutes just to throw oil through.
We used to change brushes on skill saws, power hand saws, drills. Yeah, everything. You're right. Everything. That's right. Table saws. Gosh. You know, I have to listen to you to be reminded of stuff that
thanks. I don't go back quite as far as you.
Nice to have an old dog like you here to listen. I forgive the digression. Wanted to go back to asking you a question I was going to ask you in segment one, then two, then three. A lot of people are going to be replacing their air conditioner this summer, you know, the next couple of months, maybe calling Sharon's or CNC. Should they replace furnace and air conditioner at the same time? Is there a benefit to doing that?
Yeah, the benefit is, remember me saying you got a $40,000 vehicle with $40,000 worth of tools?
Yep.
You put it out there one time, it's cheaper than putting it out there twice.
Does it make a difference? With regard to, we're coming up on another break here. All right, let's hold that thought, okay?
I got it.
All right, God bless you. I got to write it down. Speaking of rain, we've got some beautiful days here, but we sure had some rain this past week, and we had a lot of people that were getting hold of us with leaky basements, whether at the floor and wall juncture or cracks in the walls. We've got a solution. It's a one-size-fits-all solution. It's a company that can handle all water management issues for you. It is Foundation Systems of Michigan. Thanks, everybody. I want to remind you to stick around from 12 to 1. We're going to be talking to Jim Zandi from Serta Pro Plymouth. Right now we've got Pat Kelly and a question from Matt in Waterloo, Michigan for you. A generator question, Pat.
Hey, Matt, good morning. Matt, are you there?
4 years ago, Hello?
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. About 4 years ago, I purchased a 22-kilowatt Generac, and I do my own maintenance, and it said I didn't do the valve thing, and it says you should do that yearly. So I had a company come out, and the guy said, now, you really don't have to do that often. But in the manual, it says to do it yearly.
Yeah, Matt, I'm not sure what to tell you about that.
The valve thing?
Yeah, you got to adjust the valves on it. It tells you. And your guy that you had come out is probably right. You can do it. I mean, most people don't do it, but some of our service techs would. They would come out and check everything that the book tells them to check. So, you know, I guess I'm kind of with the guy that told you it's not a big deal. But, hey, Matt, I want to tell you something. I really like your township out there. I love Waterloo. It's a beautiful area.
Oh, yeah. My wife is big in horses, and they got plenty of trails right off the roads.
Yep. Beautiful place.
Yeah, I got a question for you, too. When I had that installed, they installed it horizontal to my house, which is only 4 feet away. And what happened was, I have low-level carbon monoxide detectors, and I was getting readings of like 5, 10, 15 throughout the house. And come to find out that it was getting a little bit up the dryer vent, just enough, sucking it up through the return air in the basement and sending through the house.
Yeah, you have to be 10 feet from any fresh air intake, and you have to be 5 feet from any building opening. So that's the code on that. And so it doesn't matter if it's a basement window. It doesn't matter.
Those are minimums.
Yeah, those are minimum five feet from any opening, which is hard to get in Michigan. And then it has to be 10 feet from so if you have a fresh air intake on your house, it needs to be 10 feet away, not 8, not 7. It needs to be 10 feet away for mechanical purposes.
Would that be my Navion gas water heater? Is that what you're talking about? The pipe?
No. You'll have that's an exhaust. The Navion.
Okay.
You might have an intake on it, but I think I'd be more concerned. Does it seem to be 5 feet from any opening into the house? Any window or door or man door?
A window. And what I did is I ended up, there was enough clay in the electrical where I turned it vertically. Now it shoots out into the yard, and it's all
Very good. Good idea.
Glad you monitored that.
Yeah.
Matt, thank you for the phone. Those low-level carbon monoxide detectors, you know, the ones they sell in the store, like the combos, they don't go off to like 40 or 50.
Right, right. And you got to replace them once a year. Most people don't know that. So, you know, you can't just buy one and plug it in. You do the same, Matt. Thank you for the phone call.
That is a great question. That's a great, that's a big issue.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, well,
you got
right?
that look in your eye like you just found something else to talk about.
No, I obviously we're going to run out of time in a few minutes, you and I, but we do have a few minutes because we have told horror stories of somebody doing their own installation or hiring, I'll say Chuck in a truck since I'm Chuck, to do a job he's not qualified to do, and that carbon monoxide's coming in the house. That's scary.
Well, that's real scary. Every year when we have power outages, you read about somebody, some family dying because somebody put a generator in their garage or just opened the garage door and thought
one,
that was good
did
enough.
Did it in their basement years ago, which is unfathomable.
Right, but they just don't. They just haven't heard the news. And so any motor that runs, any combustion motor that runs, sends out CO, and CO is deadly if it enters the house. So again, 5 feet from any opening, any window, anything. Hard to get in Michigan. There's things you can do to get around that. But
quite a ways when you think about it.
Well, you can 5 feet horizontally, 5 feet vertically. It can be 5 feet from an opening. You know, the window
straight
can be,
line.
The window can be up over 5 feet. And
gotcha.
You can put it there.
Oh, so you could put it next to the house.
Right. You're 18 inches from the home, typically.
Now, is that from the exhaust or from the unit?
From the unit, because the reason I say from the unit is because one side's intake, the other side's exhaust, and if you put a smoke test around it, you'll see the ring go in a circle. So you want to be 5 feet from everything. So we have been in areas where you can't do anything. You put a screw in the window and it becomes a wall. You can do that. Any movable window, make it a permanent window, and the inspector. You know, inspectors are real people. So they understand where do you want me to put it? You know, you can't tell them they can't have a generator.
Sure.
So you try to do the best you can. And the other one would be turn it vertically instead of horizontally and get the exhaust going out towards the yard.
Okay.
And you're less apt to have it blowing in.
Orientation makes a difference in some cases.
Yes.
Does side of the house make a difference? North, south, east, west with
prevailing
winds?
There's a lot of places you can't install in the side yard. So for instance,
you mean by ordinance, Pat?
For instance, Bloomfield Township, if you're setting on a corner, you can't have a generator because you got two front yards. And you're not a side yard install, and they don't have a backyard. So you have to go for a variance on that, right?
You're kidding.
No. That's and when we talk about permits being $580, that's the reason why right there. Because you got to learn all that stuff, right? And you got to apply all that when you send a salesperson out. They've got to know all of that. So
you don't want them selling something that you can't then install,
right?
I hadn't even thought of that with a corner lot.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody's thought about that except for the inspectors in Bloomfield Township.
We'll let that dog lie right where it is.
I'll give you a couple more.
I know you did. You tempted me, and I didn't take the bait. I'm walking away from the cheese in the trap there. Replacing an air conditioner and a furnace at the same time.
Yes. Always a good idea. Always a good idea, in my opinion.
Your first answer kind of implied it was less money.
Yeah. Well,
but are there more reasons than that, or is there
compatibility? Lifespan compatibility is not an issue. Okay. It's not an issue. I can put a Payne furnace with a Carrier air conditioner or a Trane air conditioner. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
The two are compatible. It doesn't really matter. What matters is a lifespan of a furnace is supposed to be 15 years.
Has that been your experience?
No, not really. I mean, it's all across the board. We've pulled out Carrier furnaces that had bad heat exchangers. So, no, the answer to that is no. It's not my experience, but that's what the government recommends. Every 15 years, replace it. And so you get about 20 years out of both, furnace and air conditioner. So if one's 18 years old and the other one goes kaput, why would you wait? Do it at the same time, save a little money.
One company.
Get the warranty. Get a 10-year warranty with it. Parts and labor.
I love it. And Pat put us on to that. Hey, I want to remind everybody to stick around for the 12 to 1 o'clock hour with Jim Zandi and CertaPro Painters. And we want to make this next segment of the Inside Outside Guys sponsored by Waterwork Plumbing. Thank you, Pat Kelly.
Thank you.
Love you, brother.
Have a good day.